It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today is Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. First off, Kansas State Extension Beef Veterinarian A.J. Tarpoff on signs of cold stress.
The behavioral changes, especially for a newborn, I don't trust. That's where having a thermometer, using a rectal thermometer and actually seeing what the internal temperature is the best indicator. Carry a thermometer in their calving kit, because if they have a hypothermic calf, it's a quick, easy test and say, hey, this calf needs a little extra help. Normal body temperature for a newborn baby calf should be 101 to 102-ish degrees Fahrenheit. Now, if it drops below 100, that's already in mild hypothermia or low body temperature. So intervention, drying them off, putting them on the floorboard of your pickup with the defrost so they can get some, you know, warm, dry air circulating around them. You know, however you do that, but anything below 100 degrees Fahrenheit, they can use a little extra pump.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Ethan Lane. Ethan is Vice President of Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C. Ethan, welcome back.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
All right. 2023. We've had the opportunity to talk numerous times over the past year and saw some challenges, saw some successes along the way, and actually some of the challenges that we started the year with, we're looking at as challenges in 24. So instead of me just rambling on, when you look back at 2023, how will we define it, and what are some of the highlights, you think?
You know, I think this is going to be a year that we look back on as one of contradictions. You know, we came into this first year of this Congress with a more narrow Republican majority in the House of Representatives than a lot of people expected, but still a lot of, I think, optimism for the year. We started with that, you know, a sort of unprecedented fight over the speakership, with Kevin McCarthy going through 15 rounds of votes. We watched that, you know, that House Republican conference sort of deteriorate, for lack of a better term, over the course of the year, with a replacement of a new speaker and that majority now down to two seats in the House Republican conference as we sit here and talk today. And at the same time that that's happening, we've seen an administration really on the march, under this banner of Bidenomics, looking for ways to fix markets and to create fairness, in their words, in the marketplace. We've watched new kinds of volatility in the cattle market as the expected recovery that I know our members across the country have been waiting for, albeit on the heels of a herd contraction that in a lot of ways hasn't been voluntary. If you don't have the grass and you don't have the rain, and inputs are expensive, you're shedding cattle you maybe didn't want to, but all of that has kind of added up to a year of uncertainty that looked very different than uncertainty we've seen in the past few years. But nevertheless, I think it's been a year where we've seen a lot of, you know, growth in some areas as well. We've seen the launching of a variety of new packing entities around the country and new initiatives based on the investments from USDA and packing capacity. We have a lot of excitement around some of these new facilities and new arrangements with producers to market cattle in new ways outside of the big four, to find premiums in ways they haven't before. We've seen consumers continue to line up for our product, which is incredibly helpful. I think there's still a lot to be optimistic about as long as we kind of keep a steady hand at the wheel as an industry, and keep moving in that positive direction. You know, the international community can no longer deny the efficacy of our sustainability efforts. We're the most sustainable beef production system in the world, and we're doing that, as we've talked about before, while turning out the highest quality beef the world has ever seen here in the United States. That's an incredibly valuable position to be in that didn't happen by accident. That happened because producers around the country have gotten better and better and better at how they do what they do, and maybe more importantly, better at talking about it. And that puts us in a phenomenally good position, regardless of what these folks here in Washington decide to do today, tomorrow, or you know, into the future. As far as an industry, we're much more prepared to respond to that. We continue to be in a holding pattern on the Farm Bill. We continue to be in a holding pattern as we sit here today and talk on a government funding package that's going to keep the government open and operating. That includes a tremendous amount of priorities for the cattle industry. Hopefully some additional certainty if they can get it across the finish line. All of that with some of the same old battles, right? We're still talking about the leopard prairie chicken. We're still talking about wolves. We're still talking about grizzly bears in the Pacific Northwest. Some of those long-standing challenges that ranchers know all too well, in many ways are very similar to where they were 10 years ago. So it's been an interesting year in 2023 and 2024, going into a highly contentious presidential election with tight margins around the country. I can't imagine being much different. I think we're gonna still expect to see a lot of that type of volatility in both in the political environment, hopefully less so in the cattle market. And the one good thing to say about it is that because of the work of producers around the country and NCBA and our state affiliates, we're in good position to deal with it and move forward with some wins, hopefully.
You know, a couple of years ago, there was a lot of excitement about opening up some new markets through trade. I didn't hear you mention anything as far as opening new markets for trade. So as we look to 2024 and some of the policy previews that you've got there, is trade on that, or is that one where we may just have to wait for maybe the next administration to pick that up?
You know, you're right on target as always, Tony. I mean, this administration's legacy on the trade front is going to be one of shame. You have a U.S. trade representative in Katherine Tai who has said unapologetically that she doesn't believe exports are important anymore, and that instead she believes the focus needs to be on using our consumer footprint in the United States to change behavior in other countries around the world. We're seeing the effects of that with the decision of the Biden administration and the Department of Agriculture to allow Paraguayan beef imports into the United States, to refuse to take seriously Brazil's inability or unwillingness to play by international rules governing the reporting of disease outbreaks in their countries, and to continue to allow that product onto American store shelves, mostly in the form of lean trimmings. That's where most of that product comes into the United States. And you know, it speaks volumes about how unseriously this administration has taken the need to open additional markets for not just agriculture, but for the cattle industry in particular. We aren't satisfied with that. And as is often the case in the cattle industry, we're taking matters into our own hands. And so we are continuing those conversations overseas, continuing to build bridges, continuing to engage internationally in that conversation, both to defend and promote the way we raise beef here in the United States, and look for opportunities to grow that market share. $11 billion in exports in 2022 to foreign markets from the U.S., more than $450 in value on every fed steer. That is a huge benefit to the supply chain, and something that we don't want to let our foot off the gas on just because this administration doesn't see value in it. So we're going to have to keep pushing on that, whether the administration's interested in talking about it or not, and keep that pressure on, because that's just not something we're willing to relent on.
Okay, we've talked about a lot of things here. I imagine in a few weeks you'll be talking about this as well with members at a cattle industry convention and NCBA trade show.
It is our favorite week of the year every year. The NCBA Cattle Industry Convention and Trade Show is so much fun and so much action packed into one week that you need a week afterwards to catch up on sleep. But we are headed to Orlando, Florida here in a few weeks, January 28th through February 2nd. We will be down in Orlando with 8,000 or so of our closest friends, talking through all these issues. All of our 7 standing policy committees will have full meetings. There'll be presentations from government agencies, from market participants, from analysts, economists, you name it. We're going to get into these issues, and we're going to talk to our affiliates around the country. We're going to go through our policy book, and we'll come out of that meeting with renewed priorities and a renewed focus and the ability to take these challenges head on in the next year. And that starts with participation in Orlando. So beyond the fun we're going to have down there, and there is going to be a ton of it, it's a great opportunity to work on the business of being in the cattle business as well. So we're excited to see everybody in Orlando in a few weeks.
And you talked about it starts there, and it kind of makes me think of the leadership as well. We see new leaders come into the industry on an annual basis, but that's not something that just happens overnight. If somebody thinks, hey, I want to step up, I'm ready to be a part of a solution, if you will, where does that start and what do they need to do?
Well, we are a grassroots organization, and that's where our strength comes from. And those leaders start as county leaders. They start in the states. You know, they start in those local conversations, and they build their credibility and they build their knowledge base on the policy side. And that results in them engaging in the national conversation with NCBA, whether it's through a working group or a policy committee, you know, those vice chairmanships and chairmanships of those policy committees. So we just had those folks in town this week working on some planning for Orlando. You know, those people become the true thought leaders in the industry on those various issue sets, whether it's property rights or you know, federal lands or trade or tax and credit or, you know, animal health, you name it. And that's where that process starts. And that's really where you can get into the weeds and help shape where NCBA is headed in the next few years. And that really does start at home. I mean, that's where those ideas come from. And so, you know, not just our convention, but as we get around to those state conventions, that's always the most exciting part, is watching those conversations and seeing those next generation of leaders at work at their state level, you know, around the country.
Okay. We want to keep up with NCBA, and we can do that online. Where will we find you?
We are at ncba.org, and for the policy team in particular, ncba.org/policy. You can get all of our various issues we're working on. You can get one-pagers. You can get the latest information on those hot-button topics around the country, and then certainly you can get all of our contact information as well. So if there's an issue you don't think we're talking about or you've got questions on, you can call us here in D.C., and there's somebody in this office, I guarantee, that's working on it and excited to talk to you and hear what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Ethan Lane is Vice President of Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, online, ncba.org. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
Countdown 24 is marching onward to Orlando, January 31st to February 2nd, 2024. Have your say in the future of the industry, network with fellow producers, or connect with friendly faces. Plus, the NCBA trade show will be on site with over 385,000 square feet of the latest and greatest in the cattle business to help your operation stay competitive and sustainable. Register today and learn more at convention.ncba.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Ethan Lane, National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Find out more about the upcoming Cattle Industry Convention online, convention.ncba.org. www.logos.org.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Countdown 24 is marching onward to Orlando, January 31st to February 2nd, 2024. Have your say in the future of the industry, network with fellow producers, or connect with friendly faces. Plus, the NCBA Trade Show will be on site with over 385,000 square feet of the latest and greatest in the cattle business to help your operation stay competitive and sustainable. Register today and learn more at convention.ncba.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
An explanation of what USDA resources are available for beginning farmers and ranchers to enter into agriculture, especially those with non-farm backgrounds. Courtesy of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack.
We have a beginning farmer program in which we invest literally tens of millions of dollars every single year in a variety of entities that basically make it easier for beginning farmers to understand how they might be able to enter farming, what kind of market opportunities they could consider, where the financial assistance may come from.
The secretary on RFD TV Thursday adds Farm Service Agency restructuring to better cater to beginning farmers, along with lending options such as FSA microloans, also lends to an easier entry into agriculture.
There's also a series we've just recently enacted, a micro farm risk management tool that basically gives you the same kinds of protections that some of the larger scale farming operations have in terms of risk management.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.